For thousands of years, humanity has endured every environment the world has to offer. It has adapted, innovated, and overcome. Yet to this day, it struggles to understand its most complex challenge. People. This species can propel itself to the moon and back, yet fail even the most basic of social cues, transforming into abominations like the close talker, the office leech,
I had the sickest night last night,
and the dreaded bathroom conversationalist.
I've been shoes.
But there is hope. Join us as we talk about our pathway to better friendships and relationships, as we learn about people skills.
Well, hey, Crossroads. Hey, if we haven't met yet, my name is Justin. I'm one of the music guys around here. And hey, it's great to be back together after Easter at all our sites all across the country and in homes like yours. Man, we had an incredible Easter experience last weekend. And that's why we get together every week, to celebrate Jesus, to turn ourselves towards him. And so one of the ways we turn ourselves towards him is through music. And I don't know if you're like me, but music's almost always better when it's done with friends. So that's why we sing together. That's why we engage together to flesh out some of these questions we have and respond to him. We sing songs to him and about him. And so we want you to join in. If you're home, online, turn it up and join in with us. We're going to worship together.
Crossroads Church is a community of people across the country, trading isolation for friendship, insecurity for hope. We're pursuing God in the midst of our mess, a God who loves us and takes us on incredible adventures. A full life awaits. Check us out.
The mercy of our
have reason to celebrate. It's good for us to celebrate today because last weekend across all our sites, across the country, we gave people the opportunity to raise their hand for the very first time maybe and accept Jesus, to welcome Jesus into their life as healer and savior and rescuer. And we saw service after service, time after time, hand after hand go in the air across this site, across all of our sites and homes across the country with people saying, yes, I need you, Jesus. And so if that was you, if you're one of those, we'd love you to raise your hand. We've got a spotlight and a microphone we're going to give you and just want to hear your deepest, darkest fears, you know. That is not us. That is not this place. It was a good place, safe place. No, if you're one of those, we want to tell you. And you took the first step in a powerful, amazingly beautiful journey last week. You took the first step into a powerful story of a God who loves us, a God who created us, a God who knows us, and a God who came to rescue us and set us free. And so that's why we sing. And from time to time, we think it's so important for us to have songs in our repertoire that we sing as a community that tell the whole story of Jesus, the whole story of what God's done for us, that we would never forget who he is, what he's done, and who we are because of it. So one of his closest friends in the first century, a guy named Peter, he wrote this in a letter then. He said, according to God's great mercy, we are born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We don't ever want to forget that he alone is our living hope, that in him alone we find life. And if that story's new to you, if you've never heard it before, and this is a great opportunity for you to dig into these lyrics, just read these lyrics and lean in a little bit, reflect a little bit with us. This song, it gives us a chance to, at a point in it, to respond with grateful hearts. So that's where we're going to start. I'll teach it to you. It goes like this.
So hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Sing that again. Sing hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation.
Who could imagine? So some of us are singing this song because we remember the thing that got broken in us. We remember the thing that got set free. Some of us are going to sing this song, this chorus again, because we want to say in the future that we remember the thing that God set us free from. I want you to think in your mind, what is it? What is it? Bitterness, addiction, debt, bad ideas, bad friends, bad family memories. Let's sing this again and let's say, hey, that wherever, whatever I'm being dragged down right now, there's a Savior that's come to keep me from only being down. He wants to elevate us. So let's say this again.
Praise you because of what you brought us into. Life, hope, you brought us in to your resurrection. You're making us new. You invite us in. I didn't have to get it all right before I came to you. I didn't have to figure it all out, have all the answers. I didn't have to wipe myself clean. I just had to come to you and say, I need you. And you respond. That is who you are, God, and that's why we praise you. We love you, and we see you perfectly in Jesus. So that's why we pray and sing like this. Amen. But thanks for singing with us. That's great. Hey, before you grab a seat, why don't you turn around and give somebody a smile and a handshake today. One of the core things to who we are around here at Crossroads is that that idea, that truth, is not just a theory we believe in. It's not just something for us to think about. No, that truth that we just sang is a life-changing reality. And it changes how we love. It changes our actions. It changes how we see each other. It changes how we love the cities we're a part of. And And so in a couple weeks, we have an incredible opportunity to live that song out, to put that song into action with something called Go Local. Want to know what Go Local is? Check this out.
Hi, my name is Daniel. Mi nombre es Daniel. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, this guy has a cool accent. Where is he from? I'll tell you, I'm from Ohio. Thanks for asking. Hey, I'm here to tell you that for a whole week in May, we are going to be out in our communities serving through what we call Go Local. Go Local is serving our communities for a whole week anywhere you live. You might be asking, what exactly do we do? Let me show you. We're gonna be doing construction projects, you know, things like building a wheelchair ramp, remodeling, a little bit of drywall. You might even get to use one of these bad boys. Not much into power tools? I get it. We have plenty of places like this all over the country where it's safe for kids and families to come outdoors, a little gardening, a little mulching, a little trimming up, lots of things to do for everybody. Whee! Hey, we're gonna be doing all sorts of projects. For example, right here, we're gonna be painting all the walls. Maverick, you ready to paint?
Come on. Good job.
Hey, are you ready to do this with me? I think you are. And all you need to do is pull out your phone, go to crossroads.net/go local. Sign up, boom, you're ready to go. I know you can do it. Hey, I'm looking forward to seeing you in May. Vámonos a servir.
Well, welcome to church. I'm Lena, and I'm the Crossroads Anywhere Community Pastor, and I'm so excited for Go Local coming up in just a few weeks because it's the opportunity for us to go and be the church, not just watch the church or experience church, but to actually be church. And it's a great way for you to make friends in the city that you're in or to invite your friends along with you to experience what the church is supposed to be. So this week we're starting a brand new series called People Skills, where we're going to be looking at what does it mean to have deep friendships and have long-lasting community. And I have some great friends and some great community, and so I want you to meet them today. Do you guys want to introduce yourselves?
I'm Jen.
And I'm Tiara.
And we are in a group together. We've been friends for a few years now. Yeah, what has it meant for you guys to be part of the community?
Community and being part of community to me just, I don't know, it feels like really good to have safe people to talk about the junk in our marriage, the junk in my life, and to have accountability. So it's just important. It breaks the isolation for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something that you guys are always really good at every time we get together is you ask like a very pointed question about something that's hard going on in our life. And sometimes we've talked about it and we have progress, and sometimes it's something we've been burying for a while.
But we could have deep conversations, and at the same time, like sometimes we just go out and have margaritas and chips and salsa and get to laugh together and talk about our weeks or and tell funny stories.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And all of that is good community. Mm-hmm. And I think this series is gonna be really helpful for us. And so before we jump into that, we're gonna have an opportunity to be generous. And this is a way that we get to be the church. And this is something that we've talked about in the midst of our friendships, in the midst of our group. Why do you guys give? Why do we give?
I give because I feel like my money is God's money and I wanna honor him with it. And I've been very blessed because of it.
Hmm. I am a rule follower. So for me, once I started following Jesus and I heard you're supposed to give, I jumped on the bandwagon, which was not easy at first. But now it's just part of my budgeting. And I've felt God bless me just for the years that I've given.
That's awesome. If you want to be generous, you can do that by going to crossroads.net/give and giving right now. And we're gonna jump right into week one of People Skills.
Walk with me, Susie Lee, through the park and by the tree. We will rest upon the ground and look at all the bugs we found. Safely walk to school without a sound. Safely walk to school without a sound. And here we are, no one else. We walk to school all by ourselves. There's dirt on our uniforms from chasing all the ants and worms. We clean up and now it's time to learn. We clean up and now it's time to learn.
numbers, letters, learn to spell, rhymes and books and show and tell. At playtime we will throw the ball back to class, through the hall. Teacher marks our height against the wall. Teacher marks our height against the wall. And we don't notice any time pass. We don't notice anything. We sit side by side in every class. Teacher thinks that I sound funny, but she likes the way you sing. Tonight I'll dream while I'm in bed, when silly thoughts go through my head about the bugs and alphabet. And when I wake tomorrow, I'll bet you and I will walk together again. I can tell that we are gonna be friends. Yeah. I can tell that we are gonna be friends.
Welcome to People Skills, featuring a human male named Joe. Here we see the young millennial male approaching a young millennial female. We can sense a chemistry between the male and female. Their ritual begins. It's a strong start. Oh no. Is that a text from his buddies? Surely he won't check it in mid-conversation, will he? Oh, this does not look good for the young male, as he is particularly susceptible to this type of temptation. Will he stand firm? Alas, another casualty. Try again next time, young man.
Oh, jeez. You know, where do we go to get ideas about friendships? What is our knowledge base? Where are the teaching centers? I think a lot of us, not a lot of us, just about all of us, don't have many core convictions about friendships, don't have any core practices, don't even understand the ins and outs of what makes a great friendship and how to choose the right friends, and therefore, we find ourselves in a really odd spot. And I'm excited about this series because, man, this piece, who is in your life makes or breaks you, and I'm pretty geeked about this. Let's pray before I go any further. God, thank you for the ability to talk about things that are important, things that are, gosh, I would say transcendent. It is. It's a transcendent thing to be a friend and to have a friend. Help me to communicate that clearly and helpfully today. And I pray these things according to the character and identity of Jesus. Amen. Ran across an article in the Huffington Post not too long ago. It says this: if books are enough, why would we need schools? If guns are enough, why have a military? Religious institutions mobilize us to create aid organizations, create development for those less fortunate, and create a sense of community. To know if you are living the right kind of life, a window where you can share your positions and practices in a group is, in many cases, a more effective tool than a mirror. Article titled, "Why Don't We Go to Church Anymore?" Yes, church attendance statistics are going down. There are a lot of different theories and a lot of actually good reasons for that. But one of the things that we miss, if we don't have environments like this, there's two things that churches can uniquely offer. One of them is a blessing to the localities in which we are, a blessing to our city. I got two big ideas for you today, two. One is this: I want you to sign up for Go Local. We don't want to just be a church, we want it to be the church. We don't want to just be a bunch of people who gather together inside of buildings or streaming coffee shops or other people all over the place. We want to be a bunch of people who get in the streets, who get in people's backyards to clean, to help. That's why we're here. If we're just growing as a church, but we're not growing as a blessing to our neighborhoods, we're missing it totally, folks. We have worked our noogies off. We have gotten hundreds of projects, check. We found leaders to lead those projects and get the materials ahead of time, check. We put $800,000, close to $1 million into projects, into materials you don't have to pay for, check. We've gone for it. All we need is you. We need you. Signups close Wednesday. Here's what you do. You go to crossroads.net/go local and you'll find out what it is that you're gonna do, or where it is. Where is that gonna be? And then you're gonna let us know who you are so we can follow up with you and engage you. It's very simple, and it's incredibly, incredibly fulfilling. Actually, what might happen too is on your project, you could go with some friends. You might even find that there's some people there who become friends. This is the second thing I want us to do. I want us today to help ourselves get better with friends. How do we choose friends? How do we know what's a good friend? I mean, there's all kind of dating apps, right? Every kind of dating app known to man. I don't know of any friendship apps that help you understand who your friend could be, help you find a friend. A church is one of the places you can go where there's people who hopefully have a higher call in life. They've self-selected to come into an environment like this to try to understand God and grow. People who have self-selected into an environment like this are probably the kind of people that you would like to know, at least more so than maybe if you met a stranger at a bar, or maybe you met a stranger at a football game or something like that. And I wanna help you get the most out of understanding people who are around you. Now, doing this week, this whole week as I was preparing for this, I kept thinking like, gosh, this seems really redundant. Didn't I just talk about this? And if you've been around for Crossroads for 10 years, you'll say, you heard me talk about this 10 years ago. This is something I touched on 10 years ago. I got fresh content for you today, but I touched on this 10 years ago. The reason why it feels like I just talked about this is because what I'm gonna share with you is a template that's foundational to my life. I'm gonna share with you today is a template that I think about, if not every day, every week. The reason why there's so many things in my life that I'm so thankful for is because God's doing a good thing in my life, and I'm very, very thankful for him. He's doing an amazing thing in my life, and he's choosing to use friends. The people around me are making and breaking my life, and right now they're making my life, and I have a template, a screen, a filter through which I understand people. It's crazy how many of us have values around money, or we have values around politics, or we have values around what kind of cars I like. We've researched and we have those things. But when you talk about, okay, friends, how do you choose your friends? Who are your friends? What are your friends supposed to do for you? I don't know. I drink with some guys every once in a while. You know, there's just not much depth there. There's not much thoughtfulness. And so I'm going to give you something that's helped me. And if it helps you, great. If it doesn't, find something that will help you. Because our friendships will make us and break us. Remember when we went to, well, at least in my cafeteria when I was growing up in junior high, they had this big thing on the wall. It said, you are what you eat. Anyone have those in our cafeteria? Am I the only one who had them? They still have those around? Do they even have cafeterias any longer? I don't know. Is anybody in here awake? Hello, wake up. I'm working my noogies off up here. Give me nothing. Nothing. You're what's called actually the very, very, I'll tell you what you are just a moment. You're leading my very first person, okay? But we are what we eat, and we are who we spend time with. We are who we spend time with. And we have to understand who it is. Now, why did Jesus have the most powerful movement ever, 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 ever? It was because the Holy Spirit came down and filled people, because the same Spirit that lived and enabled Jesus to actually come back from the grave, that Spirit is available to you when you receive Christ. The Holy Spirit enabled time to be dated after Jesus, hospitals to be started, healings to happen, orphanages, all things that we think are just things that nice people do. No, there are things that people did who were Jesus' friends when they left. And that's the second thing. It wasn't just the Holy Spirit, it was his friends. He had the right people in his life that enabled his life to have impact, and they kept it going when he was gone. There's four kind of people in your life. You need to know what these four people are, or your life is not gonna be what it can be. Number one, there are very, VDPs, I call them, VDPs, known as very draining people. Very, kind of like the way you've been the last several minutes, not giving me any encouragement up here. VDPs. Now Jesus had a VDP, his name was Judas. And at one point, he was an energizing person because he invited him into his 12, but I believe towards the end, he just kind of was wearing people out. A very draining person, somebody who, when they're around you, your energy level just decreases. Your zest for life goes down. Your knowledge base never goes up around this person. unless it's your knowledge base about why the world is awful and why the world is wrong. VDPs always see things that are wrong. Jesus had a bunch of VDPs in his life. They were called the religious people. Religious people who were always looking for something that he was doing wrong. In the book of Luke chapter 11, verse 53, it says, as he went away from there, the scribes and the Pharisees began to press him hard and to provoke him to speak about many things, lying in wait for him to catch him in something he might say. These VDPs are pressing him. They're lying in wait. They're looking to go, aha, aha, I hear what you said, aha. They're trying to get him in trouble. This is what VDPs do. In the book of Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20, it says, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. VDPs are fools. They don't understand how to make life work. They don't understand how to make your life work. They don't understand how to encourage. They don't understand how to give life. And the more we have around our lives like that, the more our life is going to be frustrated. I know these folks as VDPs. You might know these people as Eeyores.
End of the road. Nothing to do. And no hope of things getting better. Sounds like Saturday night at my house.
Oh, sometimes VDPs are that way. They're just like, they're really like, they're always down. Now, all of us are gonna be down at some point. VDPs are always down. Maybe they're always down, or they could be a VDP because they gossip about people, and initially it's kind of interesting hearing somebody talk with somebody else, but then you find out, oh no, they're probably talking about me when I'm not around. VDPs are people who could be people who try to one-up you. You're like, oh my gosh, this is a great vacation because we just did this. And they go, oh man, you should hear about my vacation. They don't want to hear about yours. Here's you, me. They're constantly trying to up. It could be somebody who, there's a lot of reasons people are VDP. How do you know if someone's a VDP in your life? Each of these categories, I'm gonna give you 5 discernment questions. Here's the 5 for a VDP. Who slumps your shoulders when you see them? Like, it's just involuntary. You know what I mean? Whose call don't you want to answer? Like, you never answer this call when they call, because you intuitively, you may not be saying, this is a very drained person. You just go like, I'll call them in a little bit. You're already recognized. You need to get your energy up before you call them back. You're not ready to, like, just take a call from them, right? Who sees the glass as half empty? Who enjoys giving bad news or being the devil's advocate? This isn't like healthily, I want to press your different points of view to help you understand. They just like being contrarians. I don't know why. Who always puts their own interests first? This is what a VDP does. VDPs are like Sears wet, dry shop vacs. They're around you. You can hear like a button going, and like that hose is coming to you. Just the energy getting sucked right out. They're sucking the knowledge out of you. Sucking your life experiences. Sucking your zest for Jesus. They're just sucking it out of you. And you might not even recognize it. You might not even recognize it because that might be all you have in your life. Seriously, here's a big idea for your day. Some of you think that you're introverts. You might be. Or it might be that you're just stupid people. Meaning, you might have never understood that maybe the reason you are an introvert is you've not been able to select the right people in your life and eliminate the wrong people. Every healthy body has healthy intake and healthy extraction. Healthy eating and healthy pooping. It goes both ways. Once it goes both ways like that, you can be healthy. You have to learn how to bring people into your life and then exit people from your lives. And some of us have never learned to exit somebody. People are with us simply by default. We don't know how to exit them out of our life. And so what do you want to be? You want to be an introvert or be without a VDP? I'll take introvert, please. Hear me very clearly. Introversion is a real thing. Awesome, awesome. I just interact with people who I'm not sure if it's introversion. I think it might be more needing of relational wisdom. VDPs are one of the people in our life. Second is very, very neutral people, VNPs. All of us at some point could be in one of these categories. By the way, sometimes you might be a VDP to somebody else, but I might find you're incredibly energizing. So some people just are VDPs, period, with everybody. Some people are VNPs, period, with everybody. But there's different people you got to learn to read in your own personal barometer. A very neutral person. This is someone who you don't mind being around. They're fine. They're good. You like seeing them at a party. It's good. It's great. They're not really sucking anything out of your life, but you also have to ask, are they adding anything to your life? And we need people who are adding something to our life. Jesus's VNPs, I think, are best seen as the crowds. The crowds. There are crowds everywhere. There's 144 times the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the first four books of the New Testament, the authorized biographies of Jesus. In those four books, 144 times the phrase crowd is used. Crowd, crowds. Here's an example of this. Matthew 8:18. Now, when Jesus saw a crowd around him, he gave orders to go over to the other side. See, a lot of us, we live for the crowds. Like, we want as many followers on Instagram as possible. We want as many people liking our thing as possible. Us pastor types, we want rooms as full as things as possible. If you're, you know, doing a business, you want as many people coming through and buying your thing as possible. We like going to concerts where there's a bunch of, a lot of us were energized by crowds, and I am too. I like crowds. Crowds are cool. There's a buzz. There's a thing that happens in crowds. It's really fun. But yet we see again and again, Jesus would go the opposite way the crowds were. Why would that be? Because he recognized that he could do his time in the crowd, but holistically, a crowd was neutral. Holistically, a crowd wasn't going to push forward his life. It was going to be the individuals he met and discipled and interacted with. So he'd be like, okay, enough of these folks. I might have given them something to elevate their game, but I got to go interact with some other people because these folks are very, very neutral for me. It's why he oftentimes shunned the crowds, where many of us were longing for the crowds, but the crowds aren't what make our life great. The crowds aren't what makes our life full. The crowds aren't what makes our life complete. If you don't believe me, I'll show you person after person after person who's had a lot of crowds around their thing, who has burned out, tanked their life, is just not in a good space. But we have very neutral people around us, maybe so we can determine whether or not they're supposed to be in our life to a greater degree going forward. Discernment questions for you to understand who is around you that might be neutral. One is this: who around me isn't affecting me? A very neutral person, they're not affecting you. So you want people around you who are going to affect, who around me just isn't affecting me at all? If they get transferred, that'd be kind of bad, bummer. They left, but they're not affecting me. Two, does the time on my calendar with this person match the output of my life? Three, who is in my life purely because of history? Like, they came in at a critical point, but they're really not adding value right now. Four, who has a life that is at a standstill? Very neutral people oftentimes are same old, same old. Say, oh, you haven't changed a bit. I know, that's why they're kind of neutral. Because they haven't been changing, and so they have really nothing new to offer. There's no new experiences. There's no new insights that they have. There's no new conversations they can be a part of because their life is a standstill. Or five, who has a presence in my life but isn't a gift to my life? It's one thing to have a presence in my life. It's another thing to be a present to my life, to be a gift to my life. These are just some questions that would help you understand who's around you. Now, this conversation today goes both ways. When I look at this group of my life, it helps me understand where I'm spending time with relationships. I have a lot of time with people. So it helps me understand how am I being healthy and what's my relationship. So that's one. The second thing questions like this do for me is they say, how am I doing with other people? Because it is true, we need to evaluate and understand who's in our relational life, and it's also true, you need to be the best friend you can. Are we neutral to people who are around us?
are we neutral? It's like we're going, are we draining to people around us? We're like, oh my gosh, I better call Joe. Joe needs to be here for this. No, you need to be here for this. Because if Joe was here, he would say, oh my gosh, Pete's got to be here for this. Because he'd say your name, whatever your name is. We should be asking ourselves, am I adding value to people who are around me? Am I increasing their capacity for people who are around me? Jeff Bezos said this, I very frequently get the question, what's going to change in the next 10 years? And that's a very interesting question. It's a very common one. I almost never get the question, what's not going to change in the next 10 years? And I submit to you that second question is actually the more important of the two. What's not going to, I will tell you what is not going to change. What's not going to change are the friendships in your life are going to dictate the fruitfulness of your life. That is not going to change. The friendships in your life will dictate the joy of your life. That is not going to change. You are the sum average of the closest people to you. Whatever they are, you are. You're average. You're average of them. So if everyone drinks 5 beers every night, you're drinking 5 beers every night. If everybody around you is judgmental towards people of a different political party, then you're judgmental of people of different. If everybody around you works out, then you probably work out. If everyone around you doesn't work out, then you don't work out. If everybody around you're average. You are to all those folks. So this never changes. And so you have to ask yourself, do I like where my life is? Am I feeling full? Is someone pouring into me? Am I pouring into them? And friendships is always, always the key discipline to get your life going. It is. It just is. If I could, man, it's huge. I just wasn't planning on saying this, but like my kids, okay? When my kids were you know, young and they'd bring people over, I was always like watching like, And there were some I was like, I'm gonna do whatever I can to make sure that person never comes around here, right? And then there was other ones, you're like, ooh. And be like, you'd be like, you're like bribing them to come over to the house, right? You're like, hey, they're coming over. Let's get some expensive steaks for them to eat. Let's take them to movies. Let's go. You're basically trying to buy your kids friends, right? You want them to have an amazing time around because you're trying to help your kids understand, hey, these people here, you want them in your life. And it's the same with all of us. This never changes. Your level of joy in life will be dictated by the people who are in your life. Your capacity in life will be dictated by the people in your life. All right, I'm starting to camp out too much. Let's keep going. Just ask ourselves, like, the amount of time that we spend on our academic schedule if we're in college, thinking through academic planning, the amount of time we spend planning about our finances, the amount of time we spend planning who we're going to end game with, you know, all these things. I bet for most of us, we haven't spent much time planning the most critical thing. Who is it that's going to have access to my mind and to my heart? Three. VEPs, these are very energizing people. Very energizing people. This is everybody who's in my group I meet with on Monday nights, a couples group, Liv and I get together. All of them energize me. These are people that when you're around, like it's just a trickle charge, right? You kind of feel your spirits lifting. You feel yourself getting just a bit more powerful. They energize you. One of the guys in my Monday group, he's been around for, a long, long time. I had the blessing of being able to lead him to Christ in a car. Sheesh, how long ago? A long time ago. He's become a really good friend of mine. His name is, on his birth certificate, his name is Michael. I don't call him Michael, I call him Mikey. Because I remember that old Life commercial, those of us who are over 50. He likes it. Hey, Mikey. You know, Mikey just, he's kind of got everybody energized. He likes it. Hey, Mikey. So Mikey, I've also called him Sunshine because he's around, like, just things get warmer. It's like, whew, man, he brings the heat. He brings the UV rays, you know? He keeps you from being depressed. So someone had this photo of him at man camp. Look at everybody around Mikey. Look at all these people around. Look at all these sad sacks around Mikey. And a world full of pusses, sour pusses, be a Mikey. I love that. Mikey is a very energizing person. I'll give you another very energizing person. I don't know him. I've never met him. Would like to. every day. It's about every day. Part of my time with God as I go through the Crossroads app. We just did a major upgrade. It is phenomenal. It is amazing. I'm telling you, I shudder to think where I would be with God had I had this in my life 20 years ago. It's really that good. So as I've been reading a verse and doing some other things, I have to pray. One of the ways I get to pray for people at Crossroads is who wants prayer in the app. And sometimes it just comes up. Okay, this person I'm praying for. So I got this prayer from this guy, Joel J. He's one of the guys I got to pray for this last week. And he said this: I lost my mom recently. Please pray that I can again trust God to be good instead of fearing that he doesn't really care for me. My heart goes out to Joel, prayed for him, and I'll tell you why this energized me. When there's like an anonymous prayer request, it's from anonymous, and like, you know, pray for my aunt who's sick, like that never energized me. I'm sure God loves your mom, or God loves your aunt, yes, and I'm sure somebody needs to pray for her, but like no specifics, never, but you put your face and your name and you say, you put your heart out there, it says my mom died, and you go a veneer underneath, and you say, this is actually causing me to doubt whether or not God is good, and I don't like it, pray for me. Man, that level of vulnerability, it energizes me. Being an energizer doesn't mean that you're happy, clappy, joy, joy all the time. It means that there's no hidden agenda. It means that you're operating on a different plane. And when that happens, it just brings energy to people around us. Discernment questions. Who enters the room immediately and makes you smile? They come in, it's like, it's awesome. Kathy Beecham used to do this for me. She died a couple months ago. Anytime Kathy was in the room, she came in, I was like, hey, Kathy's here, take your time, don't leave for a while. Who makes you feel better about yourself? Hey, what's wrong with feeling better about yourself? Some people think that's wrong. No, it's great. You should feel good about yourself. Who would you want to vacation with? In fact, is there anybody you vacation with that you want to vacation with? Who is interested in talking about you? Who likes talking about you? Who knows how to be a blessing? Who knows how to give a gift? Who knows how to give the right word? Who just knows how to be a blessing? These questions will help you understand who it is that's a very energizing people to us, person to us. VEPs. The last one I'll talk about today is VIPs, very important people. Now, one of the very important people in my life was actually an old guy, I might not even be alive right now. His name is Gordon MacDonald. I've interacted with him a bit. Actually, he wrote a book on these things that I read 30 years ago that I've adapted since that is affecting my life. He is a very important person to me. That's what VIPs are. VIPs are very important people. VIPs can be energizing. They're not always energizing, okay? Your 13-year-old might not always be energizing to you. Your 13-year-old might not be adding value to you, but you know the part of why you're on this planet today is because of that 13-year-old. Your college professor is a very important person. Might not energize you, but what they have to say, what they're doing, you make time for what they have to say. Very important people. Jesus had people who were very important and energizing. I'm just going to kind of use the same person for both of these categories. I believe Peter, James, and John actually were energizing people for Jesus. They were three people that he took away oftentimes by just them. He pulled them away from the other 12. Maybe the other 12 were a bit neutral, and he took Peter, James, and John away to give them a lot of access to him that the others didn't have. Maybe it's because those three made a unique deposit in his life that the other nine didn't. We don't know, just my opinion. They were very, I believe, energizing to him. And one person who was incredibly, incredibly important to him was named Peter. Actually, he was born with the name Simon, and Jesus gives him a new name. He gives him the name Peter. Here's what it says in the book of Matthew 16. After Peter's the first person who actually says, I say you're the Messiah. He's the very first person. Jesus says, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, Changed his name from Simon to Peter, means rock. That's what it means, rock in that language. Rock, and I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Man, who wouldn't like to be just called rock by Jesus? What's your name? You know, Son of God calls me rock. That's all I know. What's your name? I don't know. Ted. I'm rock. Rock. He says, man, you are so important. You and your testimony are going to be foundational. You're important to the future movement of all that takes place in the future. What's a discernment for understanding who your important people are? One, who are the people in your life that without them, you would not be where you are? Who are those people? One of my very important people for me, they're energizing too, but I put them in the VIP camp. Brian and Nancy Wells, Jim and Vivian Bechtold, Tom and Nancy Shepherd, they were Crossroads before I came around. And like every time anything is good happened in my life, Liv and I are like, man, wouldn't have been those people. Wouldn't have been those people. Like, I have no idea where I'd be, where we were going. Like, those couples can ask us anything and it's going to be done. Just anything done because they are very important. Who is sacrificed for you to make sure you were taken care of? Who do you feel a holistic responsibility before God for? Like, God, I think put this person in my life. Who do you turn to that always has the right counsel for you? And who is going to extend your influence? Now, VIPs aren't perfect people, but they're just people you know that they need to be in your life. Peter wasn't a perfect people, a person. Jesus tells the disciples that he's going to be going and laying down his life for them, and they're like, Peter's like, dude, not a good idea. Here's what he says. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Peter's rebuking Jesus. Yeah, they had a friendship. I don't know I'd have the guts to rebuke Jesus, but he's rebuking Jesus. He says, far be it from you, Lord. This shall never happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You're a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. Can you see the friendship here? This isn't just a high holy teacher coming down. There's a friendship here. Peter's just been called rock. And then Jesus goes, oh, you don't like what I'm saying about my future mission? Let me give you a new nickname. Who we be, who you'll be? Satan? Yes, that's you. So this doesn't mean that someone is always in that category. Friends, you just have to know who it is in your life, where they are, what impact they're having on you. You'd never walk into a building that was filled with lead paint and just think I'm gonna stay in there forever. You'd wanna know, is there lead paint in here? You just have to know who is it in your life and what impact are they having on you? And you have to ask yourself, is this what I want for my future? And then you've gotta figure out, take control of your life. This is a people skill. This is a skill very few people have. But if you figure out this skill and take these things, your life will go in the future. So you might not have written down all those questions. I'm gonna post all those questions on my social media feeds this week. And if you wanna look at those and revisit those, you can certainly do that at that point. Now, what we're gonna do for the rest of our time is we're gonna practice.
One of the things that we often do together is the chaser. And the chaser is just a group of questions that comes out after every weekend experience for you to discuss what we just talked about at Crossroads with other people, with friends. And so we do this as a group. There's four couples that do this together. And so we represent three of the four right now. And I thought maybe it would just be helpful for us to do one of the chaser questions with you and show you what it would look like for you to just talk about this stuff in a group setting. You guys up for that?
Cool.
Yes.
Cool. Okay, so one of the questions is, how did you choose your friends? How did you make friends? And so I think we could talk about how we chose each other as friends and how we became friends.
Sure.
Which I don't even fully remember, to be totally honest.
So Josh and I, my husband, are really good friends of her sister.
True.
And we actually met downtown, and you were going through stuff, and I just remember meeting you, and I'm like, oh, she seems great. And long and behold, you knew great. Lena too, and we became friends and formed our group.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We met at work.
I don't remember that first meeting, but that's cool. I met you at work. Don't know that you know this, but I kind of stalked you in the sense of, like, I wanted to be your friend.
Did you, like, wait, when you say stalk me, like, on social media, or how did you?
No. Just, like, I just knew that we would get along really well. So you were like, I was trying to pursue being friends because I knew our husbands would get along if we just got together.
And so I was like, yeah, it's a great idea. And Jen was the one that was like, come on, we're making it happen. Like, she'd text me every 7 days I texted all the other people. Yes. And we got together.
That's how I remember meeting you.
Which I think, though, there was a fear, actually a very spoken fear by your husband, Johnny. He was like, I hope these people aren't duds.
That's true.
And we still laugh about that. Well, if you want to get into a group or you want to try choosing some new friends this week, you could do that by getting in a group and trying out the chaser questions. So if you go to crossroads.net/groups, you'll see all kinds of different ways and places that you can get into a group and you can do the chaser in that group. Or you could pull together some friends, maybe even send this video to some friends and say, hey, I'd love to do the chaser. You could talk through some questions in the midst of your current friendships about this topic. And we'll see you back next week for week 2 of People Skills.